Welcome to the Leaders in Payments podcast, where we talk to C-level leaders from across the payments landscape. We'll be discussing the products and services that impact the payment space today, as well as trends and predictions for the future of payments. We will also hear stories from our guests about their journeys to the top.
When I look out at the future and where things are going, I think sometimes folks miss just how much opportunity there is to continue to build new companies and new tools to improve so many things in the world. And in particular, in our space, really the way that small and medium-sized businesses run their operations and run their teams. I see this every single day where, you know, there's so many industries where vertical SaaS companies are getting built up to help with that. But there's still so many that are left where I think there's just massive white space to go build new tools. And so we feel really just incredibly proud and really lucky to be able to work with those sorts of entrepreneurs to make their journey a bit easier and make the tools they're building, you know, a bit more powerful for their customers by being able to offer payroll as well.
That was Andrew Brown, co-founder and CEO of Check, and he is my special guest on this episode, episode 292 of the Leaders in Payments podcast, and I'm your host, Greg Myers. Check, founded 5 years ago, created the embedded payroll space. They partner with vertical-based software platforms to build and scale their payroll businesses. Andrew and I talked about the payroll space and how, in many ways, it parallels the payments industry. We talked about what makes Check unique and about his professional journey and, of course, his great passion for Duke basketball. We've got a great episode ahead, so let's get started. Hi, Andrew. Thank you for being here and welcome to the Leaders in Payments podcast.
Greg, thanks for having me on today.
Absolutely. So let's dive right in. If you don't mind, tell our audience a little bit about yourself, maybe where you grew up, where you went to school, where you currently live, a few things like that, and then we'll circle back to your professional journey in just a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm originally from Greenville, South Carolina, born and raised. My parents are both labor and employment lawyers, met in law school. And so growing up, I kind of figured I was going to be, I don't know, probably either an astronaut or a lawyer. Those are probably the two things I was most interested in. Made my way to Duke, really had no idea what I was going to do, but the iPhone came out and I was just absolutely inspired. I, you know, got one really early, was so excited about it, and frankly, also so frustrated by how many things I realized the hardware could do, but no one had built the software for yet. And that was really my entree into really computer science and building apps and that sort of thing. Started off by basically trying to build apps for my friends. We built a bus tracking system so that I wouldn't get caught in the rain at Duke and could know when to, you know, run out and get on the bus, that sort of thing. And kind of one thing led to another, and I've built my career in the tech industry from there.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about the company Check. So tell the audience what Check does.
Yeah, absolutely. So Check is the creator of the embedded payroll space. I know this is there's a lot of payment stuff on here. So I'll say when you hear payroll, your eyes might start to glaze over, but bear with me. I promise you this is actually really interesting. Our view is that payroll is too hard for most business owners today. You know, this is a space that is primarily served by legacy incumbents that have been around for 50, 60, 70 years who really have not innovated that much. And what we recognized about 5 years ago when we started the business is that platforms that serve small and medium-sized businesses are really the future, especially vertical platforms who are helping those business owners grow their businesses. And so we chose to take an approach of partnering with those platforms and building out an infrastructure layer to help the platform solve the payroll pain point for their customers. So at the end of the day, we have one aim, which is really to help small business owners make it simple to pay their people.
Okay. Are there certain verticals that you focus on more than others?
Yeah. So there's not one particular vertical, but I'll say we do have a bit of a concentration in real world type businesses. So think hourly restaurants, field services, plumbers, electricians, retail, your nuts and bolts, meat and potatoes type of businesses that you would see on Main Street. Turns out paying a software engineer is not that hard. You know, you pay them the same amount every couple of weeks, basically, you know, all year round. For folks who have shift-based work, hourly work, it's a lot more complicated. And so our partners have built, frankly, just radically more modern, easy-to-use tools for those types of customers than what traditionally has existed in the space. So we have a very general purpose solution, but those are some of our partners that have seen the most success.
And so your customer is the platform or the software company as opposed to like the end user of the product.
Yeah, that's right. Let me give an example because I think it will help here. So put yourself in the shoes of a coffee shop owner. You know, imagine you own and run the coffee shop that maybe you stop into every morning on Main Street on the way to work. Rewind 20 years, you were probably running your business on pen and paper. Maybe didn't even accept credit cards. You know, it was cash-based, maybe had a schedule on the wall to find who was working on any given day. And frankly, you probably had a payroll company that there's a good chance they actually called you on the phone every couple of weeks and had you basically read in your hours to them. It's kind of crazy to think about today, but I swear this is how things, you know, not that long ago used to work. That's obviously all changed. So that business has now come online. More than likely, you have a software platform you're using to power most parts of your business. And there's actually a really good chance that that software platform has been built specifically for your industry. So if you're a coffee shop, you might run on a platform called Dripos, which is one of our partners. Or if you're a restaurant, you might run on another one, so on and so forth. And so as a result of that, you now have this really well-built, really powerful application that you can use to run your business. Embedded payments, which I'm sure you know many of your listeners are familiar with, was really the, call it, first best fintech use case for those platforms. So not only could you manage your business workflows, you could actually get paid, you know, in terms of accepting money from your customers, paying for their coffees and whatnot, all through the platform. Obviously, you know, Stripe and Adyen and others have built up that business. And really what Check does is we say, okay, it's awesome as a business owner that I can accept payments from my customers through that platform, but I should be able to pay my team and manage my team through the platform as well. So that's where we come in. We provide all of the software and infrastructure to make it possible to embed payroll directly in that application, which for the, you know, employee and the business owner makes their life a lot easier. They're not switching between systems. It's just a much more simple, modern experience. And for the platform owner, it's a new revenue line for them and a way to provide more value to their customers and create an even stickier solution.
Makes a lot of sense. So having been around this space around sort of these software companies for a long time, there's a lot of them. So how do you go to market? Do you have a direct sales team? Do you work through partnership channels? How do you get to that customer?
The whole business is, as I mentioned, like very much partnership-based. So we are not a payroll company where we go and sign up small businesses. All we do is work with these platforms. They are our customer. We call them our partners, though, because we're working, you know, very much jointly with them. And so for those partners, yeah, it is very much a direct sales type of motion. And, you know, we're always doing outreaches to them, dinners, those things of that nature, just trying to get in front of them. What's unique about our business compared to a lot is that we're not trying to sign up thousands or tens of thousands or whatnot of these platforms. We're talking dozens to hundreds of them over the next few years. And so we've spent basically a half decade at this point building a tool that we know that they need. And we think we've done a pretty good job with that. So we're able to create quite a tailored, you know, pitch specifically for them.
Okay, it's a good segue into the next question. And you answered part of it, but I'm sure there's more to the answer. What differentiates you from your competitors out there?
Yeah, so I think the first thing to understand is that really before Check, you didn't have any option to go and build a payroll service. You could try, but it was going to take you 5+ years, probably $50 to $100 million+, or you could do an acquisition and that was also going to be a multi-year, probably $100+ million type of an endeavor. So what we said was there were a couple of platforms that had done that, Toast and Square among them. And we said, okay, there are hundreds of other vertical SaaS companies, workforce management companies out there that need this. Let's really abstract all of this complexity away and build it into a platform that they can build on without needing to take years and tens or hundreds of millions of dollars to go do it. So first and foremost, you know, we created the space. We've been the leader in helping stand it up. And as a result, have been in the market longer than anyone else. As a result of that, over time, you know, folks, they see a good idea and they want a part of it. So we've certainly had competitors come into the space. There are really two key ways that we differentiate today. One is some of the sort of established existing payroll companies have come to try and offer embedded payroll products. And there's some real, I think, just core business model conflict there. For any given customer, are you trying to attract them to your payroll product or to your partner's payroll product? And if you're thinking about investing the incremental dollar in your business, you know, do you put it towards helping your partners or do you put it towards helping yourself? So structurally, those folks are pretty challenged in terms of how they compete with us. Otherwise, the other thing we do, and this has been you know, we've been fortunate, I think, again, to be kind of early in this market, as we've recognized that while I think kind of the last few years in fintech were about building really good APIs and simplifying some of these complex workflows, what we've recognized is you have to do more than that. You really have to create a platform that empowers these platforms to really build a business. Like the phrase we use is you're not just building a product, you're building a business. And so that means, of course, our APIs and our product surface areas, our embeddable components are all really critical. But the way we provide our operations is equally critical. So we take on basically migrations, which we call embedded setup for our customers. We take on support through what we call embedded support for our customers. We handle all risk and fraud for them through our credit and fraud protection program. So it's those sorts of things that just make it a much more robust offering, really, than what others in the market have been able to put out.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, and you may agree or disagree, but there seems to be a lot of parallels between sort of the payments industry and the payroll industry. I mean, payments, you've got some of the newer players who have come out with more kind of the modern day payments infrastructure. You've got obviously legacy players who also try to play in this kind of SaaS software platform space, but they're trying to embed things that have old technology. And it sounds like in this payroll space, there's a lot of similarity.
There's no question. I think that, look, embedded payments really led the way over the last decade. And I think the next 5 to 10 years are much more about other financial services, payroll being one of them, lending, you know, there's others that are in there. We've watched the playbooks that these payments companies have run and certainly been inspired by them, taking the parts that we think apply. But part of the challenge too is also really thinking from first principles and saying, hey, when you think about what payroll really is at the end of the day, yes, it moves a lot of money, don't get me wrong, but it's actually quite a different business in that it's much more about taxes. Like the reason, especially in this country, the payroll industry exists is that we have a state and local-based system where there are thousands of different tax jurisdictions. It can be all the way down to your local school district. And that's really complicated. You got to know how to calculate those, how to remit those taxes. There's penalties if you get them wrong or they're late, things of that nature. And so it's really building. Sometimes I think about if you put think of a benevolent technologist in charge of the whole US, you know, what system would they build for handling these taxes? That's really our goal and what we've set out to create.
Okay. Where do you see the industry headed, say, in the next 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, I think it's really like the last couple of years in my mind have been kind of the beachhead for this next iteration of financial services. I mentioned embedded payroll, lending, accounting is in the early stages of becoming a thing too. I think the next few years are going to be about all of those services really going from an initial establishment phase into that kind of core expansion growth phase. Think maybe what, you know, embedded payments looked like back maybe 2013, 14, 15, that kind of time frame. I think that's where we're at now in this, you know, 2.0 version of embedded financial services. Beyond just the pure growth there, the other thing I think that we're going to see is you're going to have much more various financial products being connected to one another in a way where historically they've been pretty disparate. So when you think about, okay, you've got one platform that now is handling your income in terms of payments from your customers, it's handling the majority of your outflows in terms of payroll, in terms of invoices and billing, things of that nature. It's also hooked into your accounting system. Wow, the data and the power that you can have in hooking all of those workflows together is pretty cool. You know, you can see, oh, I know exactly how much you have in your bank account. I know what your payroll is coming up. And I know a customer is about to pay you because you've got an invoice out for them. Maybe you have a brief cash flow shortfall. You know, maybe I can lend that to you a much lower cost way than historically would have been the case to make it easier just to grease the skids of how you continue to run your business. So it's that type of stuff and really bringing, as we see more and more adoption of these products, like bringing them all together to provide these cohesive, really powerful experiences for business owners is, I think, a lot of what the next few years will be all about.
Totally agree with you. I think from my knowledge and my talking to a lot of leaders like you, that definitely is in alignment with what I'm hearing. So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about you. So fill the gap in between when you were coding some bus apps back at Duke to CEO of Check. Kind of give us the professional journey there.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's funny, in retrospect, it kind of makes sense. But looking forward, I definitely would not have predicted I would end up running a payroll business. So rewind, I left school, as I mentioned, was really excited about building things. Truly, I had no connections to the startup industry, to Silicon Valley or anything like that. So a lot of my friends were moving to New York, I decided to do the same thing and was really looking for how to get my foot in the door, basically, in this industry here. So started my career out very briefly at Google. I was fortunate to be part of their APM program, did that for about a year, and then decided to strike out on my own and begin my entrepreneurial journey. So I started a company called Oyster, which is a consumer, think of it as an ebook subscription service. So kind of like Netflix or Spotify, but for ebooks. And so we built iOS and Android apps, things like that, to enable you to read this book from our catalog of more than a million titles that we had. And we ran that for about 4 years before ultimately selling it to Google in 2015. And that whole experience definitely was just a foundational one that I think shaped the trajectory of my career, because I was fortunate to work with an incredible team of two other co-founders, work with an incredible group of people to build out this service, create a product that a lot of people really loved. And I was like, wow, I feel like we found a wormhole in this universe. Like, being an entrepreneur is just really incredible. You know, it's hard for me to imagine doing anything else in my career. And so after selling the business to Google, you know, obviously you start kind of looking around, all right, what's going to be next? And for me, while I loved building a consumer product, I recognized that, you know, I was more of a B2B kind of guy, and I didn't want to run a media business. I wanted to run a software business at the end of the day. So I was looking for basically the biggest, oldest industry I could find that I felt like if I went and spent 10, 15, 20 years building in it, I was pretty sure we could push the ball forward in terms of the types of experiences that folks were able to offer. I had no idea that was going to be payroll. I was looking at a very wide array of different things. And, you know, sometimes you need to have, I think, just a prepared mind, really, so that when you kind of see the opportunity come along, you're ready to jump on it. And that was very much the case with Check. We happened to get to know and become quite close with what became our first partner, a company called Homebase. We really saw the problem through their eyes. So this wasn't a, I'm an expert in payroll, let's go build this. This was, wow, this company really needs to be able to offer payroll to their customers. It's way too hard for them to do today. Why has no one built this solution yet? And it's one of those, you kind of, every now and again, I don't think it happens that often, but maybe it's every 5 or 10 years, you just see something in the world that you're like, this should be different. I don't know why no one else has done this yet. And we were fortunate to recognize that and jump on it, and spent the last 5 years chasing it now.
So you started this with other co-founders or just yourself?
I did, yeah. No, so I have two other co-founders here. Vivek Patel is my co-founder and CTO. He was one of our first couple engineers back at Oyster as well. So we've been through thick and thin together, you know, working together for over a decade at this point. And then our third co-founder, Eric Stromberg, was also part of the Oyster crew. He was one of my co-founders and the CEO there. And Eric helped co-create the whole idea for Check as our lead investor for our first couple of rounds and board member, and continues to be one of the most thoughtful kind of strategic voices around the table here.
Great. Well, you know, I like to ask this question of leaders and get their opinions, because everyone's kind of had their own kind of personal journeys that I believe are important to answering this. If someone comes to you and they say, Andrew, I'm interested in working in the payroll industry or the payments industry, you call it fintech as a broader term maybe, and maybe they want to work at Check, what would you tell them they need to do to be successful?
There's no one playbook in life. There's different ways to go about things, but personally, the way that I think you maximize your success is by being genuinely interested in things and following that curiosity and going really deep. Those are the types of people that I look to hire, and that when I look at, you know, other entrepreneurs that I'm close with, and it doesn't even have to be entrepreneurs, just people who are really successful in their fields, that's what you see. You know, I look sometimes at kind of my parents' generation and folks like that, and the folks who are 70 years old and absolutely love what they do and are, you know, reading the new article about what's coming out. Like, that's who you want to be, and that's how you have success in your space. So if you want to work in payments or you want to work in embedded payroll at Check, I'd say, one, go follow that curiosity, and two, demonstrate to others that you've done that. Turns out the world is a big place. And so if you choose a particular topic to go deep on more quickly than you might imagine, you can become, you know, top 1%, top 0.1%, 0.01% in terms of expertise there. And just doing the work really will differentiate you from kind of the vast majority of people out there. And lastly, that compounds over time. That's really why the curiosity is so important. Like doing that for a week or a month or 6 months is helpful. It can definitely get your foot in the door. But the way to really have outsized success is to do that over a period of, you know, 10, 20, 30 years. I mean, I think the only way you sustain that is if you're genuinely really curious and really excited about it.
That's great advice. So what are some things you're passionate about? So maybe one work-related passion and one personal passion.
All right. Well, let's see. Work-related passion. I think more than anything else, I'm really passionate about providing just like amazing experiences to our partners. This is something we spend a lot of time thinking about. And it's really hard. Like when you think about an organization design, like how do you make sure that you give, you know, fast and accurate responses back to people and do that in a way that also makes economic sense and things of that nature? It's like, again, it's when it's, you kind of follow your curiosity. For me, it's like all about just being obsessive about providing that sort of thing. On the topic of obsessive, my personal passion is definitely Duke basketball. I was a Cameron crazy, spent 2+ months camping out to get into the UNC game when I was there, and still a big fan. So you work a lot as a founder. The way I like to kind of relax and recharge is getting myself geared up for the big game.
Okay. So I haven't kept up with college basketball much yet this year, but it's starting to get there. So how's Duke looking so far?
You know, pretty good. We're ranked like right around the top 10. Took a couple tough losses early in the season, but they were, you know, close games to good teams. And I think we've turned the corner. And my family would tell you, I'm ever the optimist. Duke is always going to win the national championship. I believe that this year, as I do every other year. We've certainly got a shot. There's no question about it.
Awesome. Well, Andrew, we've covered a lot of ground about Check and about the industry as a whole and you and your background. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up the show?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I would just add that when I look out at the future and where things are going, I think sometimes folks miss just how much opportunity there is to continue to build new companies and new tools to improve so many things in the world. And in particular, in our space, really the way that small and medium-sized businesses run their operations and run their teams. I see this every single day where, you know, there's so many industries where vertical SaaS companies are getting built up to help with that. But there's still so many that are left where I think there's just massive white space to go build new tools. And so we feel really just incredibly proud and really lucky to be able to work with those sorts of entrepreneurs to make their journey a bit easier and make the tools they're building, you know, a bit more powerful for their customers by being able to offer payroll as well.
Yeah, maybe one more quick thing. What would be the easiest way for people to learn more about the company and to reach you?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are at Check, CHECKHQ.com. Feel free to look us up there and reach out. I'm on Twitter at almostabc, and you can find me on LinkedIn, or email's easy to find too.
Okay, great. Well, Andrew, thank you so much for being on the show today. I know your time is very valuable, so I really appreciate you being here.
No, it's been a lot of fun, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. And to all you listeners out there, I thank you for your time as well. Until the next story.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Leaders in Payments podcast. Make sure you visit our website at leadersinpayments.com, where you can subscribe to the show and where you'll find our show notes. If you enjoyed listening, please share on your social channels as well.